Grace and peace to you today in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today on the sixth Sunday of Easter, as we gather to worship today, let us do the call and response based off from Psalm 67 together. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let us pray this morning as we enter into worship. Astonishing God, you give us a vision of the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, your hope among mortals on earth. All people and nations will stream to your city, where they will find nourishment, healing, and peace. Even now your blessing shines upon all the earth to help us to see a larger vision of your loving care for all creation. And so you call us to move beyond our comfortable circles and into unfamiliar places as we seek to share your dream of a world made new in Christ. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're going to start our worship and song this morning with the goodness of God. So join with me as we sing about his goodness and his never-failing love.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so. The goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness
each other this morning? Whatever way you feel comfortable.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will.
said be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be.
People missing this morning, so take a mental note, see who's not here, give them a text or a phone call this week, and just say, hey, missed you. Where you at? What you doing? How's it going? You okay? Do something. Okay. Huh? We have this Thursday. Do I have to separate y'all? Goodness. We have this Thursday, the Ascension Service of the Lord at 6:30 in the evening time. This is going to be a time where we gather together to remember and to celebrate that Christ did not just come, he did not just die, he did not just raise, but he also ascended to the right hand of the Father. And it is all of that completed together that really means what it means for God to be with us, and the whole point of what Christ was doing, because he is the only one to ever ascend to the right hand of the Father. And so we're going to have a special service this Thursday, the 26th at 6:30 for that. So make sure you come and be a part of that. As well as next Sunday is the fifth Sunday, which means it's brunch Sunday. Woo-hoo! We love brunch. So bring some food to share. That's going to be taking place during Sunday school. And then we're going to be doing all church leadership as well. So we'll be having kind of our hybrid service in the fellowship hall. We won't be in here. We'll be in the fellowship hall. We'll have service. We'll do a little bit of planning into the summertime, what we want to do, crazy things we want to have going on and all that stuff. And so come prepared for that. And also, I forgot to say this, or put this in the bulletin, but camp is coming up soon. If you have registered your children, please get with Kay and let her know so that we can get all that paid for and taken care of. And there's eggs in the fridge. So if you want eggs, please take them. Please. And as always, for all of us who consider this to be our home church, there are many ways in which you can give to support the mission of Alma. Nazarene. And so let us pray over the offerings that we have received and that we will continue to receive throughout the week. Giving God, as spring bursts forth its blossoms, its witness to your love, you bless us from generation to generation with the new life of Easter faith. All that we have and all that we have, that we are, come from you, O God. So we gladly share this offering that others too may be blessed. For the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And so Pastor Jessica, come up for the first reading.
Our first reading this morning is Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we went out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day onto Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord, and together we say, thanks be to God.
All right, we're going to continue this morning with "Your Love Never Fails." As God's love never fails us, as we sang earlier about the goodness of God. So join with me as we sing about His love never failing.
If I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day, 'cause your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages, your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas, 'cause your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide, I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. Joy comes in the morning. know that you love me. Your love never fails. Together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me.
Scripture reading this morning is in John 14, verses 23 through 29. Okay. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." And this is the word of the Lord, and together we say, thanks be to God. Our next song this morning is "It Is Well," and the hymnal number is 554 up there if you want to follow along in the hymnal. And just reflect on this song, and if there's something troubling you this morning, and just know that God's love never fails, and he's always good, and it can be well with our soul. That doesn't mean everything is perfect in our lives. It doesn't mean everything is fixed, but we can have a peace from God that is not of this world.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Blood for my soul.
Church of God, be saved.
to sin no more. For since by faith I saw the stream, your flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die.
The third reading today is in Revelation chapter 21, verses 10, and then picking back up at 21, verse 23, through chapter 22, through verse 5. And so bear with us as it is a little bit of a everything this morning. If you are able, though, I do ask that you please stand for the reading of God's word today as we read from Revelation. Revelation 21, verse 10 says, "And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God." Then going to verse 22, it says, "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. Its gates shall never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abominations or falsehoods, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Then the angel showed me the river of life, the river of water of life, bright as crystals, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, on either side of the river, is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." And he said to them, "These words are trustworthy and true. For the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, have sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place." This is the word of the Lord, and together we say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray this morning as we enter into the homily. Living God, you sent your apostles to preach the gospel to women gathered by river in a secluded place of prayer. There, a businesswoman named Lydia was led by the Spirit to hear your word as truth. You opened her heart in love, and she opened her home for the spreading of the gospel. By the power of your Holy Spirit, fling wide the doors of our hearts this day as we hear your word of life, that we too may open our lives to serve your world in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been going through the book of Revelation. We've been talking about all these different passages, and we've come almost to the end. Next week will be the official wrapping up of this section, because we'll be closing out Eastertide, this 50 days of celebration of Easter. You haven't forgot, right? We are celebrating Easter still. We are still in this moment of praising God because he has raised Christ from the dead. And then the following Sunday is going to be Pentecost, where we get to celebrate the birth of the church. It's our birthday! Woo! Y'all asleep out there or what? This is great. This is amazing stuff that we get to do. And so this is an amazing time for us. But as we begin to go into this, and I'm kind of bummed because Mike Carr isn't here, and I thought he would really get who out of this. Some of y'all will still enjoy this. Tell me if you know the TV show. I'm going to hum the opening music. Da 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 bum bum da 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 bum bum da 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 bum bum. Green Acres is the place to be. Farming is the life for me. No, I'm calling him old because he probably would have watched the show still. They have it online for free. I might have watched a couple of episodes because as I was preparing for this, I was like, oh, I need to, and so I watched a few.
So how many times did you practice that?
I had to do it a lot to make sure I got it right. So Green Acres, okay, for those of you who do not know this classic show, a husband and wife, they're in New York, they live in Manhattan in a nice penthouse, he's a lawyer, and she gets to go shopping and all this stuff, and he is so sick and tired of the city, the noise, the pollution, the sights, everything is just, oh, and so he goes out and buys a farm in the middle of nowhere. Green Acres, and he tells his wife, and she's like, ah, ha, ha, no, basically, but they go out there, and what he's trying to do is he's trying to escape, he's trying to get away from all the bad things that are a part of the city. He wants to find peace. He wants to find healing. One of the things in the theme song he talks about being so great about is the fresh air. And he's standing there and he beats his chest. And it's like, and we think of that, right? We think of being out in the country where you have the nice clean air. And of course, we don't have too many big cities around here. And even in Michigan, we don't have cities like out west where they have smog and pollution, or in New York and stuff where it's really bad. But like, we still, it's different. Living in Lansing for almost 10 years and then living over here, there's a difference, right? There's
being in the military as a veteran, I've been all around the world, and I can say Michigan is the freshest air I've ever
seen. Yeah, that's because Michigan's the best.
But
we have this whole idea of wanting to find peace, to find healing for ourselves. When you think of people, most people, when they want to find healing, they find a cabin out on a lake or something, you know, like that's the dream. That's where you're like, oh yes. Today we are talking about finding complete healing, because this part of Revelation is wrapping it up. If you look in your headings, probably by verse 8, you should see somewhere that it should be saying the epilogue or the ending or something along those lines, because we only have a few verses left before the rest of the text is done. And this is wrapping up what God has been doing all throughout human history. We have been, as people, seeking out healing. We've desired to be healed because we know that something is broken. We know something isn't right when we see wars and floods, and when we see people suffering with sickness and illnesses and diseases, and when we see injustices happen. We know that this isn't right. And so our souls are struggling to find healing and reconciliation and to bring back the goodness that is just there that we can't place our fingers on. And what this revelation text is showing us is how God is going to bring that complete healing. I want you all to do something. I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to read this text again. I just want you to imagine, before we get into all the details and everything, just hear the words and imagine it. Try to use your imagination as best as you can. I know some of us don't function like that as much, but just close your eyes and listen. And in the Spirit, He carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Their gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abominations or falsehoods, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And He said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. For the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent His angel to show His servant what must soon take place." Oh, that's good, isn't it? Just to picture what is going on here. So you see here, the Jerusalem that we read about here, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to be on the new recreated earth where we will dwell, is different. And yes, I'm pulling up Pastor Jessica here. I have the whiteboard. It's a totally different city. You see, we have the city of people. Little P there for people. We'll leave that. Then we have the city of God, right? And there's a sharp difference between the two. You see, cities that we live in, cities that we are a part of, even in these cities, we have locked doors and gates. We have gated communities. If you go into larger cities, all the storefronts have those little metal roll-top gates to shut things out because you can't trust what happens at nighttime. You have to protect things. And we have a lot of theft and stealing. We have violence. I'm not going to spell this right. Right, we had just a couple months ago, the person shooting down at the police department. We've had the shootings that happened out in New York area. we have darkness. We have those places. We have darkness. We have those alleys, those streets that you don't go down. You know, there's even places. There's a place up north that the police don't go to that city, that little town, because that town is just too far gone. That you, even the cops don't go there. They don't want to be a part of it. They want to steer clear of it. This is what we live with. This is the brokenness that we have. But everything that we had in the city of God that was labeled is completely different. It is open. The gates are always open. There is no stealing. There is no violence. There is peace and healing. And there is light. There's all of these different aspects of the city that we see. And let me see here. I think, yeah, we have the river that brings life. We have the tree that brings healing. Plus also, side note, a tree that bears fruit every single month and a different fruit every single month. Like, how crazy. That would...
Yum.
Oranges this month, and then lemons this month, and then apples this month, and then dates this month, and then, you know, like... figs, and then grapes, and then, like, it would just be awesome. Yeah. Sorry, I lost my voice for a second. And so we have this beautiful comparison between the two, and this is what God is doing. This is what God is working towards. It's what he has been working towards throughout all of scripture, throughout all of human history, and before and even after the book of Revelation, God has still been working on it. God is still working on it. You see, the idea of this complete healing is more than just a physical aspect. It's more than just fixing the actual ground or fixing the actual people. There is more to this. You have to see this as well. I talked a little bit about it last week, but I want to do it again for you. So you have people, you have creation, and you have God. And in the beginning, people messed up their connection with people. People messed up their connection with creation. And people messed up their connection with God when they sinned. And that's what Genesis lays out. It is where we see everything happen. And when you then read through the curses that come in chapter 3, it plays out exactly all of this. No longer is creation going to just readily supply fruit and food for us to live on. No longer will people be in harmony. Instead, people are going to be fighting against people, and people are going to try to have power over others. And connection with God is severed. And it is destroyed. And so from Genesis all the way through, it is trying to then create a point where people, creation, and God are brought back into wholeness. So that when we relate to someone else, we don't try to overpower them. We don't try to control them. When we have creation, we are caring for, we are maintaining, we are showing love towards creation, both animals and the earth. We're not abusing it. We're not using up all of its resources just to make something that then we throw in the trash that doesn't decompose for thousands of years or whatever it may be. And we are in relation with God. This is the healing that is meant to be taking place. And this is what God has been working towards. This was the plan. It always was the plan. So enough of that. So some of the biggest highlights that we see out of this that I want us to make sure we picture is the fact that, one, there is no more temple. A temple was always this mediary place where you go to meet with God. They would build it on these high places so that they could be closer to the heavens. And they would build these grand buildings so that you could just see, oh, this is how much our God blesses us. And now there is no more need for it. Why? Because God is with us. This new city, this new Jerusalem, part of the healing is the fact that God will dwell with us forever. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that is also why, if you've ever heard the saying, the church is more than just the building, part of what is getting to that is the fact that we are beginning to live out this idea that God is with us and that we no longer need a building. Of course, it's wonderful. I love that we have a building that we can meet together, because I don't know if any of our houses are quite big enough to fit all of us in and to do all this stuff. So it's nice to have a facility. But if this was gone tomorrow, guess what? We could still thrive as a church. And we could still live and function because God is with us. We no longer are in need of a temple to worship. And then look at verse 4 in chapter 22. This is by and far the craziest thing in the Bible. They will see his face. Whose face? God's face. We, all who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will see God's face. And you're saying, okay, and? Tell me, who's ever seen God's face? Who's ever been allowed to? Moses said, let me see your face. And God said, no, if you saw my face, you would explode. Okay, not explode, but you would die. You can't see my face and live. And so I'm going to walk past you. I'm going to cover your face, and then you get to see my behind. That was basically it. And so you have this. No one ever has been able to see God face to face. Even Jesus throughout scripture says that if you want to see the Father, you look at me. Like there was never this idea of that we would get to see God. And yet here we have this promise, and this is that completion, that healing. Imagine if you went all your life, and I know that there are some who have never seen your parents. Imagine all your communication with the people who raised you was through someone else. And then finally, one day you got to meet your parents. You got to see their face. You got to hear their voice. Imagine what that would do to bring a sense of wholeness to your life. And so what we see here today is the completion of God's work in a city that, instead of bringing destruction and disaster and illness and theft and violence, it is bringing healing. It is bringing wholeness and completion. And the best part about it is that this healing, it is for us today. We get to live into this kingdom life, this new city, this new Jerusalem. While it's not here yet, obviously we don't have this beautiful place yet that we can point to and say, oh my goodness, because I would be there. I would be knocking down the doors that are open. You don't have to force your way in. You don't have to scale a wall. You don't have to dig underneath. You could just walk right in. We still get to live into it. This is the beauty of what God did through the work of Christ, is by building the church up and casting it out into the world, we get to begin to show people, hey, guess what? We have this hope, and we have this new city that is going to bring healing and life, and we're going to have God where we can see face to face, and there's going to be this river and this tree that gives all kinds of fruit. It's crazy. But we get to experience parts of it even today. So then the question becomes, how do we witness to God's kingdom today? How do we begin to show this healing, this completion today if we still live in a broken, corrupt world? A specific hope for us is that there is no more need for a mediator, a place in which to dwell, a temple place. The fact that we are empowered to go out with the power of God instead of having to go to a building. And so this then allows us to express ourselves outside where we dwell, where we live 99% of our lives, because we're only here for a couple hours every week. So begin to think about how you might make kingdom talk part of your everyday language. How might you begin to speak about the things that are being healed, the things that God is doing in your everyday life, so that people just can tell that, man, that person is messed up, because even though they're living in this, even though they're living in Alma, backwater Alma, we don't know where that is. I don't know how many times I tell people, I live in Alma. Where is that? Mount Pleasant? Oh, okay. Because we're not good enough to just be our own city? Come on now. Like, we have to be adjacent to something else?
Yeah.
Find ways to speak about what God is doing, to use that kingdom language of healing, of reconciliation, of love throughout your everyday life. Maybe structure our homes so that they can become places where people can behold God. We can build little mirror images of this kingdom to come within our homes. So that when people come in, they get a sense of peace that they're like, I don't understand. A place where the door is open to those who are in need. Where it's not shut. Maybe physically you have to shut it, because I mean, wintertime and all that. We're not heating the whole world, as my mother would say. But that it is open for people to come in. And you're not just telling people, no, this is my place. You stay out. These are the ways in which we can begin to express this kingdom now and to begin to develop it. Because we're not called to change this world. We're not called to change all the nations so that they believe like us. We are called to begin to live out the expression of this kingdom so that others might see. So our longing today, and this is hard. This is hard for me. I've always wanted to go up into the UP, buy 50 acres, and bye. But our longing today should not be to escape. To escape where we live, necessarily. To escape the struggles that we have found ourselves in with our jobs or school. To escape the present troubles that we are facing, but is to work towards a better city, not this city, but that city. To work towards the kingdom of God within us and among us, bringing us all together. And then by doing that, we will come to the day where this will come true. And we will see God face to face. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more violence or death or abuse or manipulation. There will be no more disease or suffering, droughts or floods or tornadoes. We won't even need to worry about paying our electric bill. The light is always on. What is that hotel that always says we'll leave the light on for you? To imagine such a beautiful place. I lost all the adults now. That's what I talked about bills.
No, that's why we signed, right? So our bills are already paid for in our next life. We're paying the bills right now.
So let us. I don't even know what to do with any of that. So. Let us pray, though, in all seriousness, let us pray, because part of the response that needs to come out of us, and we'll get to more of this next week as we close up this journey through Revelation, but part of the response that needs to come out of us is a willingness to work together as a people. We have been called to embody what it means to be the kingdom of God, to be this city that is a light in darkness, that there is no darkness, there is no violence, there is no death, there is no persecution among us. While we might suffer it on the outside, we are called to embody this city and to begin to show and to demonstrate the hope that we are longing for, so that others might see. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. Imagine and let us pray that we might be those leaves, that we might be able to help bring healing to the nations. We want to remember Mike Silverthorne, because he had broken his hip and he is still recovering. Bambi's still working on trying to get her hand surgery rescheduled, and Richard called me this morning, and he said he had bone spurs on his hip that they had to remove, and so he's in a lot of pain right now, healing from that. So we want to be praying for him. So let us pray this morning. In this season of the Spirit, let us offer our prayers and thanksgiving for the world, saying, Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. All creation lives to praise you, O God, as the earth yields its blessing. May we honor and protect the precious gifts of nature. Give thanks for the beauty, healing, and sustenance provided for all. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. You bless your church through all the ages with leaders like Paul and Lydia to share in the spreading of gospel. Give to your church this day a profound sense of the mission in which you now call us, for the life and health of the world. Lord, send out your Spirit. Renew the face of the earth. You judge the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Give to all leaders and people the wisdom and the spirit of peace, that we may walk by your light as we serve the common good. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. You promise to be with us always through the comfort of your Holy Spirit. Give to all who suffer violence, grief, or pain, an enduring trust in Jesus that joy will rise again. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. We give thanks for the many blessings of our lives, that as we follow Jesus, he journeys with us day by day through the presence of your Holy Spirit, our advocate and teacher. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Be with all who are born this day and those who will die, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and may we all come to share in your heavenly city with voices of unending praise. We pray all this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The most prominent way in which we begin to manifest this new city of healing and peace is through the table, as we gather together to proclaim Christ's death, resurrection. And so Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us prepare our hearts to be God's sanctuary. We lift our hearts in praise to you, God of glory, because in every time and place you have shown yourself to your people and revealed your purpose to dwell with them always. In the wilderness you made your place and dwelling in a tabernacle. In Jerusalem, the temple became a theater of encounter with you. And so, let us pray together. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God Almighty, from your throne flows the river of life. Fed from that river, your tree of life bears fruit for the healing of the nation. Nourish your church in the sacred meal, that the bread and wine we receive may be poured out through us as life abundant. By the power of the Holy Spirit, make your church a healing balm in places of suffering and sorrow. Sanctify this bread and cup that may be for us the body and blood of your Son, who at supper with his disciples took bread and gave you thanks, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it. Remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Revealing God, whose radiance is all holiness, make your face to shine upon us that we may be saved. Look with mercy upon those who turn to you in hope and long for peace the world cannot give. Hold in your light of comparison every troubled heart that waits for the dawn of your one eternal day. Shine with the fullness of your love into every fear-filled soul. Make yourself known to all who long to you. Till that hour when night is no more, and there is no need of lamp or sun, when you will be our light, and when in your eternal radiance you shall reign ever and ever, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together in your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf, and the bread in which we break is the breaking and the sharing of the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks and sharing is the blood of Christ. And so when your heart is ready, you may come and receive the elements. Join with me as we sing, "There is a Redeemer."
Jesus, my
in love, abide in peace, and serve the Lord, for God is ever present. May the Lord be gracious and bless you, that you may live a life of praise forever in God's light. Go in the grace of God, and God bless you. Also remember that we do have eggs in the fridge and the brunch next week for Sunday school.